Today's shiur is Masecht Bava Kama, Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Actually, the subject of this Mishnah is a subject that the Gemara has mentioned many times. The opinion of Rav Tarf and the opinion of the Chachamim regarding what is the din with Keren Brishus HaNizik. How much is the payment obligation? Says the Mishnah, Shor HaMazik Brishus HaNizik. Ketzad. What is the case that we're going to be discussing? Nogach, nigev, noshach, rovetz, biet. Nogach is to gore, nogach is to kick, noshach is to bite, rovetz is also a form of kicking, and bot, all forms of kicking in the Rishus HaRabim. We know the halach is if it's a keren, tam, mishalom, chatzin, nezik. What is the din, Rishus HaNezik? So we have a matchloikus. Rav Tarfanam, nezik, shalom, the Rishonim point out that why does our Mishnah mention all the various types of Keren? Not the Rishonim, Moreh Mesodah discusses this. We've already discussed the various types of Keren. So they explain, as we're going to begin learning now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, that the obligations of Keren we learn from Shein V'Regel. So we would think that the only type of Keren we're discussing is a Keren which is similar to Shein V'Regel. So our Mishnah goes out of the way to teach us that we're talking about all forms of Keren. They also ask, as we're going to learn now, a Kal V'Chomer, Rav Tarfon, to teach us that Keren Brishus HaNizik pays Nezik Shalom. Don't we know there's a halacha of Ein Onshin Min Adin? We can't obligate somebody to a punishment based on a Kal V'Chomer. So the Mefarshim answer, the concept of Ein Onshin Min Adin is applicable, but we don't know that there's any Einish, or we don't know what the Einish is. However, we know for sure that there's a din of Chatzi Nezek. The only question is, do we apply Nezek Shalem? That is not contradictory to the concept of Ein Onshin Min Adin. Furthermore, the Rishash makes a very interesting observation. We learned earlier in our Masechta Machloikis, if Palga Niska Knossa or Palga Niska Mimoina. The obligation to pay chatzi knas, is it a knas, is it a fine, or is it mammon? Says the Rishash, if we're going to say that palga niska is knoso, so you can't learn one knas from another knas, and therefore if Rav Tarfon is learning the din of Keren Brishus HaNizik for Shein V'Regel, it must be that he holds that just like Shein V'Regel is a mammon obligation, Keren obligations are also mammon obligations. So how does Rav Tarfon come to his conclusion that Keren Brishus HaNizik is pays Nezik Shalom? Omelam Rav Tarfon, Rav Tarfon makes the following argument. If the Torah is lenient regarding Shein V'Regel and Shus HaRabim, Shupater, we know that halacha is that in Shus HaRabim there's no obligation for Shein V'Regel. Hichmaleim Brishus HaNizik L'Shalom Nezik Shalom. Yet in Rishus HaNizik, for Shein V'Regel, there's a Nezik Shalom obligation. So Makom Sheichmer al Keren Brishus HaRabim. So if Keren with the Torah is more strict, that in Rishus HaRabim you pay Chatzin, L'Shalom Chatzin Nezik. Ein Adin Shenachmer al Brishus HaNizik. So certainly in Rishus HaNizik, we should be Machmer L'Shalom Nezik Shalom. That's how Tafin comes to this conclusion, that we pay Nezik Shalom by Keren Brishus HaNizik. Amaloi. The Chachamim who disagree with Rav Tarfon say a concept of Dai Lovim and Adin Lias Kanidan. Whenever learning a Kal V'Chomer, and this is really the main subject of today's Shir Mitzvah Hashem, whenever we learn a Kal V'Chomer cannot end up that the thing that the subject that we're learning or we're trying to learn the Halacha by should be stricter than the source subject. So if part of the Kal V'Chomer that we just learned includes that Keren Brishus HaRabim pays Chatzi Nezek, we can't have a situation that will end up with Keren paying Nezek Shalom. That means that the Talmud will be stricter than the Rebbe. And therefore the Rabbanan say that even though perhaps logically the din ought to be that Keren Brishus HaNizik pays Nezek Shalom, we can't apply Kal V'Chomer here. If part of our logic here was applying the din of Keren Brishus HaRabim, where there we learned the halach is that you only pay chatzi nezek. Therefore, apreshus anizik, the halacha should be that you only pay chatzi nezek. It's interesting to note that even though the Rabbanan are applying the concept of dayoi, I saw that the Rishonim suggest that only regarding a keren where the animal walked in by itself into the reshus anizik, do we have this disagreement between Reb Tarf and the Chachamim, do you pay chatzi nezek, Chachamim's opinion, or nezek sholim, the opinion of Reb Tarf. But if the owner took the animal into the reshus anizik, the Rishonim suggest the Chachamim will agree that then you pay nezek sholim, because he actually caused the damage. Furthermore, the Rishonim suggest that the Rabbanan, who have a broader application of the concept of dayoi in our Gemara, have this broader application only in our case where the Kavachoyim is trying to teach us a din. But where the purpose of the Kavachoyim is to help us understand a posik, they don't have such a broad application of dayoi. Amalehem, so if Tarfon says to the Rabbanan, and we're going to learn the Mishnah because we already learned the Gemara. We peeked at the Gemara so we can help us understand the Mishnah. Reb Tarfon disagrees with the Chachamim. And Reb Tarfon's opinion is that if by applying the concept of dayoi, we end up not having a kavachomer, we don't apply dayoi. And therefore here, Reb Tarfon says, we're going to apply dayoi. We're not going to apply dayoi. Reb Tarfon does agree we apply dayoi. We learned this Gemara also in Daf Chof, that the Nezek Sholem payment by Karen Rishus HaNizik is Megufay, not Me'aliyah, because we learned dayoi. But he doesn't agree that we should use dayoi to break a kavachomer. The Chachamim say that we use dayoi even to break a kavachomer. There are Rishayim that suggest that even the Chachamim who have this opinion will agree that if there will be absolutely nothing left of the kavachomer, then they'll agree with Reb Tarfon. But here we have something left. You're paying chatzi nezek. It's not like you're not paying anything at all. What is the basis of the machloikis between Reb Tarfon and the Chachamim, with Chachamim giving so much more consideration to dayoi than Reb Tarfon? So I saw a very nice explanation. According to the Chachamim, in the Kal V'Chomer, we always have the Melamed, the source, and the Nomad, what we're learning. According to the Chachamim, we always pay more attention to the source. And therefore, we have to be careful that the Talmud should not end up in a stricter position than the Rebbe. According to Reb Tarfon, in a Kal V'Chomer equation, the Talmud is the Nilmad is the more important factor. The fact that it ends up being in a stricter position than the Melamed is not so disturbing to him. So Reb Tarfon says to Rabbanan, Af ani lo odin kerem kerem. I also will rephrase the Kal V'Chomer to take into consideration your concern. Ani odin kerem regel. Umar b'makom shehekel al shem v'al regel. If where the Torah was more lenient regarding the shalom regel, meaning b'shus harabim, still hichma b'keren, the Torah was stricter regarding the keren, and you pay nezik chatzin nezik. Makom shehichma al shem v'al regel, which is b'shus hanizik, that you pay nezik shalom, ain a din shenachma b'keren. So the Rabbanan say to Reb Tarfon, you really haven't helped your cause yet. Armaloi, die alovim and adin liyis kanidin. Still say to Rabbanan, part of your mix in this Kal V'Chomer is including Keren Brishus Arabim. And Ma Brishus Arabim Chatzin Nezik. Therefore we have to apply the concept of Dayoi and say also Brishus HaNezik, the din is Chatzin Nezik. So Mepharshim try to understand what Reb Tarfon try to accomplish by rephrasing the Kal V'Chomer. One pshat that I saw, it's Atman Yosef's pshat, is a very simple, nice pshat. He says that in the first Kal V'Chomer, we're comparing Karen to Shem V'Regel. And there we have a problem, because Karen B'Shus HaRabim only pays Chatzin Nezek. In the second Kal V'Chomer, we're not comparing Karen to B'Shus HaRabim, Karen to Shem V'Regel, we're not comparing Mazikim. We're comparing places. We're speaking about the Rishus HaNizik versus the Rishus HaRabim. But the Rabbanan say that doesn't help you any because you still have to include the fact that Karen Rishus HaRabim only pays Chatzin Nezik. Another approach that they say is at the beginning, in the first Kal V'Chomer that was quoted, the Kal V'Chomer, the problem with the Kal V'Chomer was at the punchline. And at the punchline, you included the fact that Karen pays Rishus HaRab M'chatzi Nezek. So the punchline is a difficult punchline. The way the second Kavachomer is phrased, it's not at the end of the Kavachomer where the question comes in. And perhaps Rav Tarfon is saying to Rabbanan, you shouldn't apply the concept of Dayo then. So Rabbanan, Dayo is Dayo, no matter in what part of the Kavachomer it becomes an issue. Ask the Gemara, Rav Tarfon Lesley Dayo. Again, the Gemara begins not the way we understood the Mishnah. The way the Gemara begins is, Rav Tarfon doesn't subscribe to the concept of Dayo. Ask the Gemara, V'dayoy daraisahu. The concept that dayoy should be applied to applications of kavachomer is a dimma daraisa. The Tanya. But then kavachomer ketzin. Actually, the Gemara is quoting a braisa, which is a continuation of a braisa that we're all very familiar with. Every day we say the braisa, v'shmol oimer, v'shloisas midos ha-tari nedreshus behen. The 13 different ways how to understand the words of the Torah. And it begins with Kavachomer. The Braisa, Machlok Shoshayim, how to understand what this point of this Braisa is. Is it to give us an example of a Kavachomer, or how to show us that a Kavachomer has a power over the Raisa? So what is the example of a Kavachomer? The Pasuk says, V'yom Hashem HaMoshe, V'viya Yorg B'fenea, Haloti Kolein Shivas Yomim. We know that Miriam had spoken not well of Moshe Rabbeinu, and she became a tzaras. Moshe Rabbeinu begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before, we know that the halach is somebody's not a mitzayra until they're declared to be a mitzayra. So Moshe Rabbeinu is begging Hashem, before she's declared, leave her. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, if her father would have been angry with her, the father would have put her in cheirim. The minimum cheirim is 7 days. Kavachomer, so now that she spoke against the Shechina, and she didn't think that the Hashem Kavyochon knew what he was doing with Moshe Rabbeinu, she should be in Mitzayra, she should be in Chayim for 14 days. And therefore, I'll leave it only for 7 days. So there's an obvious question here. The Kavachayim says it should be more. How do we know? So the regular chayim is 7 days. Here, where she went against the Shechina, it should be more. How do you get to the number 14? Maybe it should be forever. So some Rishonim say that the Pasuk says, Yorak, Yorak. If the regular chayim is 7, Yorak, Yorak is 14. Along the same lines, other Rishonim say that we find this concept of kefil many times, that we double the punishment. So the normal punishment is 7, here it should be 14. Taisus suggests a different pshat. Taisus says that the Gemara says Masech the Nida, Shloisha Shutfim Adam. Every person is made up of 3 partners. Ova v'imay v'akadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that the father contributes 5 things, the mother contributes 5 things, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 things. So if somebody did something against their father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is double. It's 5 to 10. So if by a father it's 7, By a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it ought to be double 14. In fact, this Gemara, this concept of Taisvus, I saw that the Sefer Pninim Yekorim uses to explain a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is actually a Rashi in Parashas Kedoshim. The Gemara says in Masech the Yevamos. The Pasuk says Ish Ove V'Imay Tero V'Shapsoisei Teshmeru. Says the Gemara Masech the Yevamos. Yochel Ove V'Imay. Tell him to be Michal Shabbos Yishma. He should pay, listen to what his parents tell him. Tamalim ish ovev v'imay terovish apsay shay tishmayru kolchem chayav mekvoidi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words supersede. So the Pninim Yekorim points out that it seems that the Gemara is saying that the only havamina that we should listen to our parents to be Michal Shabbos is ovev v'imay. If both of our parents together tell me to be Michal Shabbos. If a parent alone, one parent would tell me to Michal Shabbos, there would be no Havamina to listen to them. Ask the Pninim Yekorim, what's the difference if it's one parent or it's two parents? So he says, beautiful pshat based on what we're learning now. He's saying that we learned now that each parent contributes 5 things and Kadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10. So of course, if a father or a mother tell you to be Michal Shabbos, they only contributed 5 things to your creation. Kadosh Baruch Hu created 10. So it's obvious that his word supersedes their word. It's Aviv V'imai that they're also now 10, 5 plus 5. Against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 10. Now I don't know what to do. Teaches us the Pasuk, do what Hashem says. It's also interesting to note, I never saw this before. We know that typically spitting at a person is considered a terrible, terrible thing that should never be done. Where do we know that from? So the Sefer Chassidim says that this Pasuk is the source for that rule. He says, the Pasuk says, Vavi Yorak Yorak. How are we explaining the words Yorak Yorak? Chayr. But that's not the word, that's not the definition of the word Yorak. The definition of the word Yorak is to spit. So why don't we explain the Pasuk simply? Vavi Yorak Yorak. The father spit at her. Says the Sefer Chassidim, that can't be pshat. Because there can never be a situation where one is allowed to spit at someone else. So when the Torah uses the word Yorak, it can't mean spitting, it must mean Chayrim Nazifa. So, obviously, we subscribe to the concept of Dayoy. So why doesn't Reb Tafan explain, subscribe to it in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Ki leslei, as we learned in the Mishnah. When does Reb Tafan not subscribe to the concept of Dayoy? Heicha de mifra kavachaymer, when the kavachaymer is refuted. Heicha de loy mifra kavachaymer. But if the kavachaymer could still stand, islei Dayoy. Then he subscribes to it. So, and the Gemara explains itself. Hashem shiva the Shekhinah like Sivi. The Torah doesn't say that she should be in Chayim for 7 days because she spoke badly about the Shekhinah. Also Kavachayma, Aisar Basa. So the Kavachayma says that she should be in Chayim for 14 days, as we explained. Also Dayoy. And what does Dayoy accomplish? Apat shiva faiki shiva. Takes off 7 days and leaves us with 7 days. Aval Hocha. Regarding the subject of our Mishnah. Chatzin Nezek Siv. That Yechayiv Chatzin Nezek for Karen and Roshosa Nezek. The Torah tells us that clearly. Vasu Kavachaymer. What does the Kavachaymer accomplish? Vasi Chatzin Nezek Achreina. Adds on another Chatzin Nezek. The Nasuk Nezek Shalom. That you should be Chayiv Nezek Shalom for Karen Roshos HaNezek. Now, Eid the Rash to Dayoy. If you're going to apply the concept of Dayoy, apiklei kavachaymer. You won't be left with a kavachaymer. So that's why, says Rav Tarfin, I don't apply dayo in the Mishnah, even though it is applied by Miriam. The Rabbanan, Rav Tarfin is saying some very logical words. How did Rabbanan address Rav Tarfin? Shiv deshchin eksiv. He says, and you're saying that the basic 7 days that Miriam should have been benazifa because of the Shechina, that we learn from a kavachaymer, that's not true. The Pasuk says it. The Pasuk says, Tisag is Shivas Yamin. So I don't need a Kavachayim from that. And still I'm applying Dayoy. So you see, we apply Dayoy even when the Kavachayim will be refuted. How does Rav Tarfon respond to the Chachamim? Rav Tarfon, Ahu Tisag, the Dashina Dayoy. That Tisag is to teach us that we should use the Dayoy that instead of being in the Z for 14 days, should only be in the Z for 7 days. Rabbonim, so Rav Tarfon now is okay. Ksiv Kroachrin of the Tisag Miriam. So we see that we already know she should only be in Chayim for 7 days. It must be that Dayoy, because the Pasuk says it, it must be Dayoy completely breaks the Kavachoymer. Reb Tarfin, how does Reb Tarfin respond? Ahu da feel about Alma Darshin and Dayoy. I need 2 psukim to teach us the concept of Dayoy. Because we shouldn't think, tells us the Torah. V'loitai mahocha, only in this case, v'shem kvaydo shal Moshe, as I said at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu begged that Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't put Miriam into Nazifa. So that's why, because of Dayoy, instead of putting into Chayim for 14 days, she was only in Chayim for 7 days. Al ba'alma, perhaps we shouldn't apply the concept of Dayoy. Kamash Malon, Rav Tarfin says, the Pasuk teaches us that when Dayoy doesn't break the Kavachaymer, anywhere in Halacha, we will apply it. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa Labaya, V'hoi Tana Deloi Darish Dayoy. I will show you that there's a Tana that doesn't apply the concept of Dayoy, Afgav Deloi Mafra Kavachaymer, even though it doesn't refute the Kavachaymer. And a number of words of introduction are in order. We spoke as recently in the previous year about a Zov. The Torah speaks about a Zov, and the Torah speaks about a Balkari. These are both individuals that had an omission. But one should not make the mistake, and it will become very clear as we learn our Gemara, that the actual fluid of Zov and the actual fluid of Balkari are the same. They're different. They have very different physical properties. Zav is less of a cohesive fluid than keri. The halacha about keri is if somebody emits shichva zera, he becomes tamei for one day. He goes to the mikveh, harif shemes, he's fine. A zav, as we spoke about yesterday, the first riyah he has a din like a balkeri. The second riyah, he needs zayin nekiyim. The third riyah, he needs zayin nekiyim plus bringing a carbon. But there's other differences. The shich v'zera is matam b'maga, if you touch it. The zov of a balzov, number one, is not only matam b'maga, it's matam b'maga, touching it, b'masa, carrying it, b'heset, moving it. Furthermore, it's not just the zov of a balzov that's matama, but all of the liquids, the fluids that come out of his body, as known in halachic terms, mayonois hazov, even his saliva are matama. Starts the brisa. The tanya, keri b'zov minayin. How do we know that a balzov who emits keri is tamei, b'dinu, says the Gemara, the brisa kavachoyma. Ma tohor b'tohor tamei. B'tamei. Ma tohor b'tohor. If somebody's tohor. Tamei b'tamei. If he emits keri. If somebody who's had. Again, let's try again. If somebody emits saliva when he's tohor. Doesn't make a difference. When he emits saliva as a balzov, he's tamei. Tamei b'tar. If a tar person emits keri, ain't a din shei tamei b'tamei, and he becomes tamei, so certainly if a balzov emits keri, he'll become tamei. Become isolate. And this Bryce is teaching us that this halacha, that the keri of a zov is tamei bay lamaga bay lamasa. Not only the regular tum of tumas maga, but even tumas masa. But why not say, name a hani kavachomer lamaga, that the kavachomer teaches us that the keri of a zov is tamei b'maga, and a hani dayoi, and dayoi will teach us, lafuke masa, that's only tamei b'maga, and not tamei b'masa. What will you argue, says the Gemara? To tell me that the keri of a zov is tamei b'maga, I don't need a kavachomer, because doi gora, migavatar, the balzov is no different than any regular person. And if by every person his keri, his shichva zera, is matam b'maga, the balzov is not different. He says, yes, I do need a pasik. It's true. The Torah says the shichva zera is matamei when mi shikuri of garmloi. That he emitted shichva zera. Yotzezesh ain't kuri of garmloi. That he didn't, it wasn't that he emitted shichva zera. El dov achim garmloi. It's his ziva that caused him to emit the keri. So maybe the shichva zera should not even matama b'maga. Kamash Malon, that it's only matama b'maga, not b'masa. Yet we don't say that. Why do we say? That's matama b'maga b'masa. Because we're not applying the concept of dayoy. So here we see a brisa, that we apply the concept, we don't apply the concept of dayoy, even though the kavachayim will still stand. Answer the Gemara, the whole basis of what you said was, because you thought that the shichva zera of a balzov should not be matama. Because you made a limud. Ask the Gemara. The pasuk says clearly. The pasuk doesn't say it. So we go back to where we started. The keri of a balzov that it's matama mag is obvious. The kavachoyma teaches us the masa. And if I don't have that and if I say dayoy, I have no need for the kavachoyma. We have a Tarfin's opinion that when the Kavachoyim is refuted, we don't apply Dayo. Ask the Gemara. Oman Tana, the Shamdle, the Amish Shikha Zerish Lazov, Matama B'masa. Who is this Tana that says that the Keri of a Balzov is Matama B'maga B'masa? So the Rishonim point out, it's Rav Tarfin. It's the Braisa. Why is the Gemara looking to identify who the Tana is? So one shot that I saw is that the Gemara is seeking a Stam Mishnah or Stam Braisa that will corroborate this opinion. Because we know throughout Shas that the opinion of a Stam Mishnah or a Stam Braisa is very strong. Another pshat is as follows. If we go back to look at the words of the Braisa that we just quoted, the Braisa doesn't say explicitly that the keri of a Baal Zov is matamba maga masa. That's how we interpreted the Braisa. Our interpretation may be wrong. But if we'll be successful in finding a Tana who clearly teaches us that the keri of a Baal Zov is matamba maga masa, we'll know that we learned right pshat. So we're looking for that Tana. So who's that Tana? Says the Gemara, Lo Rabbi Elazar v'Lo Rabbi Yehoshua. The Tana, the Mishnah says, it's really Braisa. The Braisa says, Shichva Zara, Shazov, Matam B'Magav, and Matam B'Masa, Tivir B'Leza. So clearly, Rabbi Elazar holds that the Shichva Zara V'Zov is only Magav, not Masa. Rabbi Yehoshua Aymer, Af Matam B'Masa. It is Matam B'Masa. But why? Because he says, L'fishi Efshab Lo Tzuchai Ziva. Because there must be in the Ziva mixed in some carry. Explains the Gemara. At Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Yehoshua Hassam. That you know why this Shichva Zera is Matam B'Magav Masa? El Shi Efshab Lo Tzuchai Ziva. Because I have to assume there's some ziva in there. But if I can know for sure that it's only shichva zera, halav hachiloi, Rabbi Shu would agree that it's only matam b'magma masa. So we still haven't found a tana that holds that the keri of a balzov is matam b'magma masa. What is the basis of the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shu? So some rishonim, the Ramban, say a very bechidish, the machloikis is a machloikis in mitzias. Rabbi Elazar holds it's possible to have that the keri should be emitted without any ziva in it. Yeshua says it's physically impossible. Difficult way of understanding that they're arguing over a physical fact. So other Rishonim explained that machlokes is, of course everybody agrees that among, in the keri there's going to be some ziva. The question is that ziva bottle or not? Rabbi Elazar says it becomes bottle. Yeshua says it doesn't become bottle. But we need to understand why Taka, according to Yeshua, doesn't it become bottle. So Rishonim answer, very important, two very important answers. One answer they say is that since, as I said earlier, the Ziva is identifiably different than Keri, Bittel is possible where a kosher piece of meat falls in, non-kosher piece of meat falls in between kosher meat. They all look the same. But Keri and Ziva don't look the same, so we don't say Bittel. But then there's another very, very important teretz. It's one of the most fundamental concepts in Hilchas Bittel. Where is Bittel applicable? We started with something that's mutter, and we have some, and with something that's osser, and the thing that's osser fell into the thing that's mutter. So if you have the right conditions, roiv, shish, and whatever the conditions, we say Bittel. But if it was never separate, it was noilet betaruvis, we don't say Bittel. That's what happened here. There was one emission that has in it these, both of these fluids, we don't say. The reason we don't, the simplest explanation is the Yad Yehuda's explanation. It says, where do we learn the concept of Bittel? Achu Rabban Lahatis, from a Bezdin, that we follow the majority. What's in a Bezdin? Every person has his own independent opinion, and then we follow the majority. Here, it was never an independent Keri versus Ziva, Ziva versus Keri. Others say, Lomdish versus Shimishkop, in the Shari Yosha, explains it in a more Lamdisha fashion. He says, Bittel accomplishes a transfer, that the thing that was also becomes mutter. That transfer is only possible when it was distinct. It was never clearly also or mutter. We can't apply the concept to Bittel. So again, we're looking for a Tana that holds that the carry of a Balzov is Matamba B'Maga B'Masa. El Hai Tana, it's the following Tana. The Tana, L'Malamhen, it's a Mishnah, the Mishnah speaks about various ovis atuma that are only metama b'maga. A sheretz, shechvazera, and a tumah meis. Then it says there's various ovatumas that are metama b'maga u'b'masa. Who are they? Zoyva shalzov, v'roikoi, v'shechvazaroi, u'meimiraglov. A metama b'maga u'b'masa. V'dama nida, these items are matam and bema magma masa. So we see clearly that the Braisa says that the shich v'zera of a zov is matam v'magma masa. Ask the Gemara, perhaps the explanation of that Mishnah is v'dama hochi nami l'fishi efshab loitzach tzuche ziva, there must be some ziva included in the carry, says the Gemara. If that were the explanation of the Mishnah, in came listening gab zoiva. So the Mishnah should have zoiva shalzov and shichva zaroi next to each other. Why is the shichva zaroi not next to the din of the zov, but next to the roikoi? Ella, Shum Das Meroike, to teach us that it has the same, that how do I know that the Shifa Zera is Tamei? Not because there's some Ziva mixed into it, because I learned from the Roik. If the Roik is Matama, certainly the Shifa Zera is Matama. So now we identify the Tana that holds that the Shifa Zera of a Zav, for its own reasons, nothing to do with the Zav, are Matama B'Maga B'Masa. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Medifta L'Ravino, the high Tana, the Tana we're going to learn now, Loi Darish Dayoi, doesn't apply the concept of Dayoi for Afal Gav, the Loi Mifra Kavachomer, even though the Kavachomer is not refuted, the Tanya. The Brisa says, Mappets Beneis Minayim. How do we know that a Mappets? A Mappets is a mat made out of reeds. How do we know that it has, that it's Mekabel Tuma? Because it's not a Beget. It's not a keli, it's a flat piece of mat. How do we know that it's subject to tumas meis? The dinhu. Because I make the following kavachaymer. Oma pachim ktanim. Pachim ktanim are small tubes. Shematama shetahoyim bezov. Can't have tumas of. Why not? These tubes are made out of cheres. The first halacha to know whenever you speak about cheres, is that cheres is metame miaviroi, whereas normally tumah is from the outside, but cheres, the tumah is from the inside. Since it's a small tube, you can't put anything into it. So masa is not passable, and as Rashi explains, if masa isn't there, then you don't have tumah hesed either. And it certainly doesn't have tumah medris. Tumah medris means something that the zov sits on, you can't sit on a tube. So these small tubes, shetarim bezav, metamba b'mas, or metamba b'mas, mappets, shemetamba bezav, mappets, which is subject to tumas zav, because the zav could sit on it, so it's subject to tumas medris, ain't a din shetamba b'mas. It certainly is metamba tumas mes. The kamaisalei, and when we learned this kavachomer, that tumas mes applies to a mappets. What are we using that kavachom to teach us? Bein l'tumas erev, bein l'tumas shiva. That's not only tamei for the day that it was just exposed to the tumas mes, but it's tamei for 7 days, like all things that are in the oil hames become tamei. V'mai. But why should I say that? Ema, ahani kavachom l'tumas erev, v'hani dayoi l'fuke tumas shiva. Yes. We're learning a kalvachomer from tumas ziva to tumas meis. That if tumas ziva applies to a mappets, tumas meis certainly applies. But what does dayoi teach us? Dayoi teaches us that it only can't be stricter. How long is there a tumas ziva? Only for the first ziva, it's only till that night. So we're going to apply the concept of dayoi. Dayoi should only allow that a mappet should be tumas meis for 1 day. Why does the Brisa say that tumas meis for 7 days? Obviously, even though I'll still have the kavachomer, because I need the kavachomer to teach us the basic halacha that a mappet is subject to tumas meis, I still don't apply dayoi. So it seems that we have here a proof that we don't apply dayoi, even in a case where the kavachomer still is necessary. Amalei, kvar. Ramana le Rav Nachman b'Zachari l'Abaya. This question was already asked. Ramana, he says, Ramana Abaya responded, you thought that tumas meis we learn from a kavachomer, from ziva. And if you had a question, why not apply the concept of dayoi to limit it to tumah of 1 day? That's not the way it's learned. Tana mimapetz b'sheretz meisale. It's learned from sheretz. V'achakama. Mapetz b'sheretz menayim. How do we know that a sheretz, that a mappets becomes tamei to tumas sheretz? That if one of the shmonish rotzim touches the mappets, it becomes tamei. The dinhu. Or mappachim ktanim shetarim bezov. Tamei b'sheretz. Because a sheretz is small enough to fit into a teub. Mappets shetamei bezov. Because the zov could sit in it. Ain't a tin shetamei b'sheretz. That's how we know that a mappets becomes tamei sheretz. El mappets b'meis b'nayin. Now we go to the next step. How do we know that a mappets is subject to tumas meis? Nemar, we learn gzeirah shava. The Torah uses the word beged v'or b'sheretz, and the Torah uses the words beged v'or b'meis. Ma beg ve'or ha'omer b'sharetz, mappets, tamebei, as we just finished proving that a mappets is subject to tumet sharetz, ach beg ve'or ha'omer b'meis, so too it includes a mappets, tamebei. So really, the way we're learning now that a mappets is subject to tumet meis is not from a kal v'chomer that we should apply the concept of dayoi, but rather of a gzeirah shava that we're learning tumas meis from tumas sharetz. Says the Gemara, Mufna. We know that what is a gzeirah shava? A gzeirah shava is that the Torah has two words that are similar in two different subjects, and if you have a Kabbalah that that's a gzeirah shava, what is the purpose that the Torah wrote these similar words? To give them the same dinim. But sometimes the words are superfluous, and sometimes the words are not superfluous. In a case where both words are not superfluous, any question can break the kal v'chomer. Says the Gemara, the words must be superfluous. Diloi mufna, if the words are not extra, ik lemifrich, that you can't compare meis to sheretz. Because ma'al sheretz has this stringency, shekem etam be'kadasha. Even if it's just as small as a kadasha, it gives off tumah. Tumah be'meis. Sheim etam be'kadasha, only kazayis. Ela be'kazayis. Says the Gemara, la'ai, afnuyim mifna. The words are indeed superfluous. Nichti, sheretz ishkis l'shechvazara. The Torah compares, the Torah is makish sheretz to shechvazara. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, oyish ashateitse, v'samach lei, oyish ashiyiga b'chol sheretz. The ksiv, so the dinim of shechvazara and the dinim of sheretz are similar. And the Torah already writes the ksibei b'shich v'zera. The Torah already writes b'shich v'zera. The chobeg v'chol or ashiyol of shich v'zera. So beg v'or the kos rechman b'sheretz lomeli. Why does the Torah have to repeat the words beged v'or by sheretz? Shema min alafnuye that the words beged v'or by sheretz are superfluous. Continues the Gemara. The kaf de mufnim etzad echerhu. So we proved that the words beged v'or by sheretz are indeed extra and can be used to teach us a kal v'chomer. But there's another opinion. There's an opinion that says as long as one set of the words of the gzeirah shava are extra, that gzeirah shava is hard and fast, you can't refute it. El shapir. El mandam l'meidim m'shivim. That unless both sides of the gzeirah shava are words that are not superfluous. We can learn the gzeirah shava, but we have a question. It refutes it, Michael Maimer. Yes, the words beged v'or by sheretz we proved are extra, but we haven't proved that those words are extra by mace. And therefore, if they're not extra by mace, we have a kasha. What's the kasha? The Gemara said that sheretz is stricter than mace. Sheretz metam b'kadasha, mace is metama. Because Zayis, and therefore that would break the Gzeirah Shava. Says the Gemara, the Meis Nami Ifnu Yimifna. The words beged v'or by Meis are also extra. Michti. Because Meis also ishkis l'shich v'zera. The Ksiv, v'negei b'chol tamei nefesh, o isha shateitzi mena shich v'zera. The Ksibei, and as we finished saying, the Torah writes v'shich v'zera, v'chol beged v'chol or, ashiyol of shich v'zera. So the question is, beged v'or, the kos rachmana b'meis lomeli, why does the Torah have to write those words b'meis also? Shema mino, lafnuye, that they're extra. So we're now in a situation of avim mufna mishnei tzadim, that the words beged v'or, both by the subject of tamei meis and by the subject of sheretz, are superfluous, to teach us the halacha that just like a mappetz, it's tamei b'tamei sheretz, it's also tamei b'tamei meis. Continues the Gemara. Ha nicha l'man d'mam d'amina v'uki b'asra. How are we learning? We're learning meis from sheretz. We're learning it with a gzeirah shava. There's a question throughout Shas that whenever we learn this kind of limud, do we take the halachas of the source and apply it? Or we take the halachas of what we're learning and apply it to the new din. Meaning, in our situation, if we're learning mace from sheretz, so do we say, since we're learning mace from sheretz, we have to apply all the halachas of sheretz to this din, because sheretz is the source. Or do we say that as soon as we have a proof that this din applies with tumei mace, then all the regular din of tumei mace ought to apply. So if we say that once we've established, because of this Gzeres Shavah, because of this Hekesh, that the halachas of Tumah Mapitz apply by Tumah Meis, Domino, we learn Meis from Sheretz, Vukabasra, and then we apply all the dinim of Meis to it, which the din is something that's subject to Tumas Meis, is Tumah for 7 days. Hanicha, Lamandama, Domino of Ukabasra. El Lamandama, Domino, Mino. If we're learning from Sheretz, then we have to apply all the dinim of Sheretz. How long is somebody tummy when he's exposed to tummy sheretz? Only one day. So we're back to where we started. Yes, we've proven that tummy's mappets, that mappets is tummy tummy mace, but it's only tummy for one day. How do we know that it's tummy for 7 days? Mayikul meima, amarava amakra. The pasuk says, a special pasuk by tummy's mace. The pasuk says, v'chibastem v'gdeichem b'yoyim ha'shvi, kol tummy shatumetam b'mace. This extra pasuk comes to teach us that whenever something is subject to tumas meis, lo yehei pchus m'shiva, tumas shiva applies. So now the Rishonim say, it's almost hard to say it after working so hard on a piece of Gemara. We started the Gemara, we're learning tumas meis from tumas ziva. But the Gemara said, we're learning a kavachomer, and the kavachomer, we should apply the concept of dayoi, which would limit it to only a 1 day tumah, not to a 7 day tumah. Which caused us to learn a whole piece of Gemara, almost an Amid Gemara. But if we have this pasuk that says that as soon as you establish that something has tumas meis, it's automatically tumah for 7 days because of the pasuk of the chibastem, then the original question we asked is answered. The original question was that dayoi should limit it to 1 day. Yes, under normal circumstances I would apply dayoi, but here I have a pasuk of the chibastem that tells us that it should be for 7 days. And I don't say to Rishonim need the whole piece of Gemara. I could go back to my original Kavachomer of learning Mappets B'meis with a Kavachomer from Tumah Ziva.